Breakthrough.
You are now listening to Breakthrough News. It's 5 p.m. You're listening to Breakthrough News, and this is The Punch Out. We're following the news all day so you don't have to, giving you everything you need to know about what's in the headlines and what should be. And yes, we are here. We are back with The Punch Out. It is 1:13:21. Very happy to be back with you as we always are here on The Punch Out by Breakthrough News. Got a lot for you here, including another Biden cabinet member with strong ties to police terror. We've also got some very big developments as it concerns the Flint water crisis, or better yet, as it concerns who's being held accountable or whether there will be any form of accountability, as it were, for the Flint water crisis. But we want to start with, it's happening in a terrible way. You hate to say it's a good thing, but I think it's certainly a good development and a silver lining in this broader COVID-19 pandemic, which is a wave of organizing among healthcare workers.
We don't have enough staffing, so we can't take adequate care of the patients.
It's not safe, and I need to watch all the heartbeats under my care. And so that's why I'm here.
And those were the sounds from a nurses' strike in New Rochelle, New York, about a month ago. Just one example of organizing going on among healthcare workers around the country. 2 days before Christmas, for example, staff at the Aspirus Keweenaw Hospital, that's tough. That's in the Upper Peninsula in Michigan there, UPERS, voted to join the Michigan Nurses Association. That was just a few days after nurses at nurses at Sutter Center for Psychiatry in Sacramento, California, voted to join a union. That was actually just before the new year. In a story from earlier today, Cass Gloves, sorry if I got your name wrong there, I apologize, the organizing director for Service Employees International Union, United Healthcare Workers West, told Kaiser Health News that, quote, "The urgency and desperation we've heard from workers is at a pitch I haven't experienced before in 20 years. Of this work." SEIU Local 105 in Colorado reports that they're getting dozens of calls every month from non-union workers, from nurses to cleaning staff, looking to join a union. It's not hard to figure out why this is, really, when we see the carnage that's unfolding from the COVID-19 pandemic. Healthcare worker concerns are similar all over, rooted in the lack of staffing and poor provision of PPE. In fact, it's been nurses' unions in particular that have rung the alarm bells the loudest about the stunningly botched response to the pandemic by our for-profit healthcare system and the government. Which I have to say really does make this organizing wave all the more impressive. On the one hand, these are, of course, quote unquote, workplace issues, but they're also patient care issues. The wave of workers in the healthcare industry that are organizing aren't just fighting for better working conditions on their job. They are spearheading the fight for a proper response to the public health crisis that's crushing the country. And the victories are coming all over. North Carolina, one of the most hostile states to unions in the country. But nevertheless, nurses at Mission Hospital in Asheville, North Carolina, voted 70% for a union recently. In fact, in 2020, 16% of all petitions for completely new unions, and that's new unions there, just not to mention non-union workers joining existing ones. But 16% of all those petitions to the National Labor Relations Board were related to the healthcare field. So the situation may be dire, but clearly, healthcare workers aren't just watching it pass them by, but are grabbing hold and fighting for change.
We need to heal our country, and I believe Joe Biden's the person that can do that. And when people ask me about the party thing, I tell people we're Americans before we belong to any party, and we have to think about what's in the best interest for our country.
And that was the voice of former Michigan Governor Rick Snyder talking about his endorsement of Joe Biden last fall. And you may remember that was an endorsement that Biden touted heavily. And a lot of people, including us here at Breakthrough News, were surprised because Snyder is directly responsible for the poisoning of the Flint water supply. And now, 7 years after the scandal first broke, legal authorities in Michigan plan to charge former Governor Rick Snyder for his involvement in the Flint water crisis. Now, as we went to press, it wasn't exactly clear what the charges were, but whatever they are, it will make Snyder the highest level official charged so far in connection to the poisoning of the water in Flint. And just a reminder, Biden touted the endorsement of this person despite his known culpability. Nothing will fundamentally change. Just remember that quote. Anyways, back to Snyder here. His legal team, of course, is already saying that whatever it is, it'll be totally meaningless. He has no culpability at all. Spoiler alert, he does. Now, a quick refresher on the Flint water crisis here. In 2014, in a cost-cutting move, the Flint government started pumping its water from the very polluted Flint River, where it had previously come from the cleaner Detroit River. This led to the mass poisoning of tens of thousands of Flint residents, most notably because the increased corrosivity of the dirty water meant more and more lead leached into the water. As all experts have noted by this point, there is no safe level of lead in water. It can cause serious health issues and developmental disabilities. Further, the water switch led to a massive outbreak of Legionnaire's disease. And a ham-fisted attempt to respond to the criticism from residents resulted in the dumping of tons of cancer-causing chemicals into the water supply. Snyder's defense is basically, well, I was the governor. I didn't make those choices directly. However, he is the reason they happened. The government in Flint was not elected, but installed. Snyder used Michigan's emergency manager law, which allows the state to take over cities, and used it to install an administration to implement austerity measures at all cost. So rather than helping Flint, suffering from the devastating impact of deindustrialization, even these many decades later, Snyder sought to gut the city, resulting in the chain of events that led to the crisis. He also stopped the distribution of bottled water to Flint because the water tested below the federal action level for lead. But again, that's essentially just a fake number. There is no safe level of lead in water. So clearly, Snyder bears responsibility. We will see, though, if he actually has to accept any. Marty Walsh is now the former mayor of Boston, most likely on his way to being confirmed as the next Secretary of Labor under incoming President Joe Biden. On his way out in Boston, Walsh, in keeping with the Biden-Harris law and order legacy, you might say, made one of his last official acts vetoing a bill that would have made it harder for police to brutalize protesters. At least that was its intent. A bill that passed the city council 8-5, one short of the needed votes for a veto override, although they're still working on that, they say. And this is even after video emerged of a police officer bragging to other cops about hitting protesters with his car in demonstrations last year. Yes, that's right. Here, take a listen.
I drove down the street. There was an unmarked state police cruiser that they were all fucking around. So I overcommit. Like, so I got the fucking Tremont Park. And I was in the middle of fucking. So then, I had to fucking keep coming. Fucking running. I'm fucking hitting people with the car. Did you hear me? I was like, get the fuck.
Yep. There it is. You know, there's actually more to that video, too. Just after that, the cop whose camera it is tells the guy that the body camera is on, and then he tries to change his story back and say that he never hit anyone and whatever, whatever. It's honestly stunningly stupidity. But anyway, long story short, that video was part of hours of footage that was obtained by the news outlet The Appeal of police body cams of Boston officers during the protest last year, showing the cops, in their words, quote, targeting nonviolent demonstrators for violence and possible arrest, discussing arrest quotas and the use of cars as weapons, and multiple instances of excessive force and liberal use of pepper spray, end quote. And the bill would have erected more strict restrictions on how the police use rubber bullets, tear gas, and the like towards protesters. Now, yeah, this probably isn't all that surprising given who Walsh is, the type of guy who is the mayor used the cops to sweep homeless encampments. That means just completely get rid of them, sweep them away, promote hyper gentrification. And he also presided over a police force with its own reputation for racism and police terror. Ladies and gentlemen, that's your new Secretary of Labor. That's the punch out for today.
We're with you Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. here in New York East Coast Standard Time, 2 p.m. in Los Angeles Pacific Standard Time, and 9 p.m. GMT. And of course, you can support everything we do here at Breakthrough News at patreon.com/breakthroughnews. It's your patronage that keeps all of our offerings here at Breakthrough News moving forward. And of course, you can check us out across all your social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at BT Newsroom.